under the assurance the executive officer has material for us to consider. We've done 14, so we'll move to 15.
Your pleasure, Mr. Chair. I wanted to flag in your package is a copy of the State Board's most recent draft strategic plan. They plan to have a public hearing and adopt it on July, whatever is the Tuesday, is that the 2nd? It's either the 1st or the 2nd, I can't remember which.
It's the 1st.
It's the 1st then, July 1st. So here it is, in theory, getting towards the finish line. I'm going to hand out to you for your consideration, and if you can comment back to me or Jean, probably Jean, in the next couple of weeks on suggested board dates for next year, board dates and locations.
Thank you, Jean.
I don't know. I thought the board chair made it pretty clear when we were in Weed in April and it snowed. Know, going back to Weed in April wasn't a priority, but here we are, 1 year later.
The reason why we are so attracted to Weed when it snows is that is the time for the annual update on the Shasta TMDL, and the community would prefer it not moved back to March. And June, we always have to be here because we have usually we're aiming for a number of controversial permits at that time to make end of year commitments for the state board, depending on how well we've been able to get through our work plan for the year. So there's a rationale other than just to ignore what you said.
Well, that's encouraging. Is that a new page for staff relations?
I'm working on it. Help me here.
If you ignore the chair, where do you and I sit, John?
All right. So, Mr. Massey.
Are these dates Thursdays?
Yes.
Okay.
And are we... we have single dates here. Are we looking at some double dates if it needs to be, or we're just starting out?
We're starting out this year with single dates. Given the size of the board, we can't afford double dates. So we will double date only if we have to at this point, and that will mean if the board continues at the size and with the kind of the budget that I passed out your last meeting, you know, get paid. So I thought you'd probably prefer single dates.
And no blind dates either.
And blind.
All right. Well, folks, we'll provide some feedback, check your calendars, see how that stuff looks. It's hard to know in 2009 where I'll be. But.
Okay, just a couple of things that I wanted to note to the board. One is we are preparing for the next blue-green algae season up in Humboldt and in Siskiyou. And to that end, we held a planning conference call with the counties, the tribes, health services, and Office of Environmental Health Assessment, Hazard Assessment, to talk about how we wanted to handle this year's posting so it doesn't come as a surprise at the last minute as it has for the past 2 years. There was agreement that Humboldt, again, will post Humboldt, and we will do some splitting of work just for efficiency, but basically Humboldt will post Humboldt as well as the Eel River if they need to, because in past years there have been blue-green algae problems on the Eel. Siskiyou once again registered its concern. It does not wish to post, but and we said thank you. we shared with the entire group the process that this office will use from once we get information in that is lab confirmed from the labs that the levels are exceeding the guidance from the state health guidance, and with that who we will be notifying and the phone tree and dispatching staff with a staple gun to put up posting signs. And we shared that with the group, and they're taking comments from them, as well as a draft press release. As in previous years, we've issued a joint press release with US EPA and the tribes and Humboldt County. SISCU, again, may or may not this year come on board with that. I don't know at this point. But again, we will share the press release with everybody. They have it in their hands, and hopefully this year we will probably issue the press release instead of US EPA. So that's blue-green algae. The other thing I wanted to note is we will be doing some sampling for blue-green algae on Dwinelle this year. We had hoped that Montague would be able to do that, but they aren't yet in a position to do that. They're a little bit behind schedule from where I think we had hoped they'd been when we adopted the TMDL. But I feel it's very important that we have some information on blue-green algae out of Dwinelle, and to that end we will collect fairly limited number of samples just to basically as a screening to see what we have there. Another item, we will be holding with the State Water Resources Control Board a joint technical workshop on temperature issues and the 303D listing process on June 26th in Ukiah. This is a course that sprung from a request from California Forestry Association to Tam Dodok to, there was concern about how the state's listing policy for 303D was being implemented for temperature in this region. That decision and those sets of decisions were made by the state board. Both the policy is set by the state board, as well as this last listing cycle was done by the state board. We're doing it jointly simply because it's in our region. It's of interest to us, but it really is focused on what has been the state board's process in the past. Oh, good news. We got paid, two sets of MMPs were paid for Bodega Lab and Humboldt CSD, so they'll be off the July agenda, a combination of fines and compliance projects. We also won a motion requesting reimbursement on the McNamara Peep cleanup site up in Crescent City to fund staff costs. And so we netted ourselves $63,000 for a lot of hard work, both by the staff who worked on the claimant as well as our attorney for getting us the cash. And then another, please.
I'll just add, for those of you who don't know, McNamara and Peep is the longest ongoing bankruptcy proceeding in the nation. They've been in bankruptcy since 1984, and they're about to close the case. We're going to file a deed restriction, hopefully, and so it does end. and we also, recovering our staff costs was really great, too.
Another item, with Mr. Massey, we'll be hosting another discussion of West County sewage septic tank issues on July 8th. And then something that was in the news yesterday, US EPA, and I think I've shared the press release with most but not all of you, that EPA announced the settlement with Pulte Homes to spend about $418,000 on the North Fork Garcia River to implement sediment controls and $190,000 on Blue Waterhole Creek, which is a tributary to Garcia, again, for sediment controls. What's really totally cool is the North Fork settlement will button up all of the known erosion sites within that watershed, so that they will be compliant with the TMDL at that point.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
You might inquire as to who worked on that at EPA.
Oh, I might?
We might find out who did that. Who did that?
Somebody worked at EPA.
Somebody who worked at EPA and managed to fleece Pulte very well for good reasons in our region.
Yeah, I feel like I brought home the bacon. I am permanently recused from this item. Lifetime ban on working on this settlement for the board because I did that. It was a worthwhile sacrifice, but I have to give credit to both the stormwater staff in the regional office who put together a phenomenal case with really high penalties for a lot of violations, and then the attorney, Lori Kermish, who fought the way through to get the SEP done. It wasn't an easy process. There's a lot of pushback at the national level to not fund supplemental environmental projects any longer. And there was a big pushback, and as only bureaucrats can do, I can't tell you how many phone calls I sat through doing what I call providing local color. Like, the attorneys didn't know what a culvert was. So it was very interesting. They were saying, you know, this work plan is not specific enough. And yet, you know, you read it and it looks like an erosion control plan. And so my job was to assure them that what they were getting was going to be a good thing for their money. We owe Lori Kermish a float trip down the Garcia River. And then the last thing I have is to mark your calendars. The next WQCC meeting is October 27th and 28th in lovely Sacramento. And I've also sent you an email. This was the garbled email I resent. Hopefully we'll come out ungarbled this time. No, it went crazy to everybody for some reason, but there was nothing wrong with the message that I could see. So I clipped and redid it, and hopefully you got it. So mark your calendars. And that's it.
And at the state level, chair's call, there's interest in having all members attend these sessions.
And this will be the first one. The last two were, one was scheduled on top of our board meeting, in a board meeting that could not be moved or changed. And then the last one was right before our board meeting up in Weed. And again, it was just, I think, too hard for people to get to.
And maybe
we did put it in the budget.
If the state's doing its enforcement exercise, did you want to share some light on what that's about and how we stand up in that process?
Statewide, there is an initiative proceeding on removing the backlog of mandatory minimum penalties. There are a couple of boards that are really quite far behind in their production, and they just haven't made a priority to issue MMPs as they have come up. This board, as you know, has made it a priority for the last 3 years that we do that. That was quite fortuitous, because as the statewide initiative gets underway to eliminate a backlog, we are in the glorious position of having finished getting rid of our backlog. Where we stand today is we have, I think it's, I'm going to say, about 180 violations that don't have an enforcement action with them. 88 of those belong to Lolita, and that ACLC will go out in the next couple weeks. Brings us down to around 100 violations belonging to about 20 facilities. Some of these are for violations that occurred in the period from 2000 to 2003, and we kind of made it an executive decision that we'd just go back to 2000 in our cleanup. So we're going to have to go back and find some people for some yet older violations consistent with how the state, everybody else in the state, is proceeding. We're going to issue about 10 notices of violation by July 1st, and we will be doing that at the same time as the state board issues a bunch of notices of violations for Southern California boards. In August, we'll follow up with another 10 notices of violations, and the notice of violations, which is kind of a cool thing, that for the first time we have a template that we're all using the same thing, and the Office of Enforcement in Sacramento came up with a template that basically, in sending out a notice of violation, says, you know, here are your MMPs, here's what they are, and if you just pay them now, we're done. So it's really to provide an incentive to reduce the paperwork and the time that we put into it, as well as the time a community puts into it. So those will go out, and if people don't respond, then we will proceed to ACLCs. And those have to be done by December of this year.
And I heard you say 100. Some context, is that a big number or a small number?
It's a very, very small number. If you're looking at what is a backlog, these are violations from 2000 to December of 2007. It's a very small number. Overall, we run at about 92% of our violations have already been addressed. So it's a small figure. We'll drive that number down to something smaller, and then we're working on a statewide definition of what is the MMP backlog, how do you count it, what's in it, what's not in it, that will then probably become a performance measure for us and the other regional boards over time.
And I think an idea out of the block at the state level was that the notice of violation template document would just appear from the state.
On data that was, when we started the exercise, part of our problem has been the statewide data system has had problems that we are finally, I think, getting to the end of cleaning some of them up. When initially the numbers were put out for our region, it showed that we had something like 500 out of 950 violations, we had 500 unaddressed. So like about 50% of our work undone, and that didn't feel too cool. By the time we'd scrubbed through, and the proposal was to just take that printout out of CWICS and just put, you know, those violations on a piece of paper and send it out the door and let the discharger sort it out. And it would come from Sacramento, and there was a pushback from the regional boards of nobody wants to send out data that is inaccurate. And so we have spent a great deal of time scrubbing that data down to the what will be less than 100 violations, and we're really quite confident of that information, and that information and in the system will now is accurate and will remain accurate. So that's heartening. It's just been painful.
Thank you. All right, we're a couple of minutes ahead of our assigned time, but again, wanted to set a time for folks knowing the history of the timber question. It can be a long day sitting here waiting to get to the end, so we will stand down until 3 o'clock.